Over the next couple of minutes, we will be looking at the message with the title, Calming the Storm. Calming the Storm. Mark chapter 4, from verse 35 to verse 41. Calming the Storm. A spiritual approach to crisis situations. Storms. Storms are not what we plan for or prepare for or want. If you have ever been on the waters, what you would wish for is that you have a smooth, cool, shall I say ride? Now, for those who use speedboat, right? If you've ever been on a speedboat, raise your hand. You've ever been on a speedboat? Oh, interesting. Okay, if you've been on a normal boat, it is not speeding. It's just normal. Okay, if you've been on a canoe, someone was paddling you or you were the one paddling. Okay, you've not been on any water. Just raise your hand. You've not been on any. Okay, we'll take you to Elele. That's the closest. Hallelujah. The storm will always come. But the person that is expecting to go to another destination on the waters would have loved that there was no storm. Would have wanted the tide to be very low and mild so that you can have a smooth sail. Because when the tides come, it raises a lot of fear. It raises concern. You are worried. Am I going to make this out free? I remembered about a year and a half or 2 years back, I was somewhere around Lekki. We were just trying to move from Lekki to Ikoyi, I guess, the other end. And so there was a boat ride and they gave me a life jacket. And I looked at myself while we were in the waters. It was electric powered, though. The boat was electric powered. But it was very close that you could just put your hand in the waters. And I asked myself, let this thing not drown, though. Can I trust this jacket they gave me? And when we got to the other side, it was almost like what we wanted to do was not working. So we had to come back immediately. I asked myself, I wish there was a road I can go and follow. But just crossing on the waters, it was going to take just about 7 minutes. But if you're going to go by road, that is some hours. And then I came back by boat. And I told myself, I'm not sure I can come this low. If that boat is not big enough that I can find some measure of comfort, I'm not going to go on it anymore. It was not interesting. I could almost touch the waters. And it was dirty, you know, Lagos waters. But then, I thought about those people who take this ride day in, day out. People cross from Ikorodu across to Lekki on the waters. And every day, in their hearts, what goes on? Let there be no storm. Because when the boat capsizes, even if you are a fantastic swimmer, I don't know how long you can swim. Now imagine that you cannot. And so, these things happen and it teaches us different lessons in life. Storms, when they come, how do we react? So I titled the message, Calming the Storm. Let's turn our Bibles to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. I'm going to need help with this. Mark chapter 4 from verse 35. We read from verse 35 to verse 41. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Verse 36. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. Verse 37. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But it was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Verse 39. Then he arose and rebuked the wind. And he said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Let's look at verse 40. But he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? The last verse, verse 41. And they feared exceedingly. And he said to one another, Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? May the Lord bless the reading of his word in our hearts. Calming the storm. They were only trying to cross over to the other side. The Bible says, and there arose a great storm. The disciples, they didn't plan for the storm. Maybe if they did, they wouldn't be worried. They would have thought of counteractions against the storm. They didn't plan for it. It just happened. But what did the master do? The master is not a man of any worry. He was very, very calm. Not only was he calm, he was asleep. How do you feel when the driver of your vehicle is asleep and the car is moving at a speed of 140 kilometers per hour? You're laughing. Because you don't even want to feel it. Even I don't want to feel it. At 140 kilometers per hour, moving car, the driver asleep, you can't even be asleep for 1 second. You can't. And you know, you people are men of faith. You don't know. Ask your neighbor. Tell your neighbor you are a man of faith. Please, do you know the name of the driver that drove you from Lagos to Ibadan the last time you went? Do you know him? Do you know how many years he has been traveling? Do you know if he drank alcohol before he drove you? But you trusted and you believed that you would get to Lagos. And you got to Lagos. And you came back. And for people like Bro Idem, who goes as far as the south-south of Nigeria, goes to Port Harcourt, he doesn't know the man. But the man is going to drive him for about 12 hours. Faith. We key into it. But somehow, we don't recognize it when things happen. We begin to fear. Even though originally it was faith that kept us going. When they entered the boat, it was faith they had that they would get to the other side. But when the storms came, that faith could no longer suffice. They went into fear. And that is what happens to each and every one of us. We suddenly lose sight of the one that is able to take care of us when there is a problem. We run back to those who are unable to help. And so he watches you. But because he's a father, a great and loving father, says you are my sons and daughters, it will always make a way. It will protect you. You think he sleeps. Bible says he does not sleep nor slumber. The disciples ran to him. Master, are you not worried that we're going to perish? So he must be like, what's this guy saying? Let me just make life easy for you. Hey, see, find your calm. Peace. Be still. And so it happened. Many of us came into the year 2020 with a lot of hopes and aspirations. Hopes and aspirations. Let's look at an overview of the year. You know, we started the year on a very great note. It looked very bright and beautiful. Everyone were like, wow, welcome to 2020. Somebody said, I'm going to score 2020. And you know, when you score 2020, that was a fantastic mark. Excitement. We felt it. But we didn't know what was coming. Somebody is shaking their head. You see many funny things on people's statuses and social media. Somebody drew 2020 like this. Like, it's just going like this. Hallelujah. So as we journeyed in 2020, we ran into various P's that changed our perspective. Our perspective changed. The first P, we got promises. And right here, in this place, Genesis chapter 1, verse 28 was our guiding scripture. Let us read. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. What is a promise? It's a declaration or an assurance that one will do something or a particular thing will happen. That's promise. And that was what we hoped for. Oh, God will do this. God had told me that I will be fruitful and I will multiply this year. And so I had keyed myself into that promise. I was looking forward to the fruitfulness, to the multiplication. And so, upon my business, I started calculating how much I was going to make because I'm going to multiply. So, if I had closed the year 2019 with a bank account of 2.5 million naira or dollars. Dollars. You people don't like naira. Because you can still multiply it by over 400 naira, right? Good. And so, there was that promise of multiplication. Something was going to happen that will excite me. I was going to move from where I was to another place. Oh, this year, 2020, I'm going to add to the number of children. Oh, this year, 2020, we're going to add to the cars. This year, 2020, we're going to add to our number of souls that we're going to win. Somebody in his heart was asking God, this year 2020, I want to make a promise to me. I'm going to have a new certificate. Even though by fire by force, some people added their NYSC discharge certificate. It looked as if it wasn't going to come. They are laughing. Did you get your certificate? So there was that promise of addition. And then, suddenly, the news that started off somewhere in the Chinese province came and became a reality in Nigeria. Then came the pandemic. Another P. From the promise of great things, multiplication, fruitfulness, expansion, came the pandemic. What is a pandemic? It's a widespread prevalence of a disease across a country or the world. And we saw it. We saw the pandemic. We were all here. Today, we are still alive. Can you put your hands together for the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords? He couldn't have done anything better. He has kept you. He has kept you. And so the pandemic came. And it started spreading like wildfire all over the world. And then Nigeria had its first case. And then the cases keep coming. And though it's still, we're still having cases, but you can see that the hands have been stemmed down. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, verse 6. And you will hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet come. Verse 7. Yes. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. The pandemic is what was referred to there as pestilence. This is just the beginning. The Bible gave the word ahead. And so when it came, the people who had faith knew that they were going to go through it successfully. Because even after the battle, we will take the count, and none that is named amongst us will be missing. And so we are today. Hallelujah. The streets became deserted. People could no longer go into places they would walk into freely. Now you needed to close your mouth and close your nose. Some nose mask or face mask. You even have to almost close your eyes and look like a masquerade. That became the new order of the day. It became the new normal. Against our plan, against our hope, against the promise we received that we will be fruitful and we will multiply. That pea came and changed everything. And fathers could no longer hug their sons. And mothers would only wave to their daughters. And friends would only greet themselves with the elbow. And we went into lockdown. And then the lockdown began to ease. And then suddenly, another P came. Protest. Protest. Protest is a statement or action expressing disapproval of something. It's an organized public demonstration expressing strong objection to an official policy. Another P. We were just getting out of the pandemic. In fact, the World Health Organization had not declared it free, but we were hopeful. Our faith had grown. People could come to church. They could come to worship. People could go to other places they couldn't go to. The lockdown was gradually being eased. And then came the protest. And it looked like, what a world are we? Where is the hope? But then, there's a scripture that talked about it. Nehemiah chapter 5. If you use the Message version, it records it as, a great protest was mounted by the people, including their wives, against their fellow Jews. If you read it deeply, you would understand the story. But it was recorded. In fact, in some other versions, If you use message version, you will see some of those things really called protest. Some people call it rebuke. Like if you had used King James Version, what you will see is rebuke. And there was a great rebuke. And that is what the protest is about. Disapproval of something. This has been happening. We don't want it anymore. Disapproval. This is a policy from maybe the leadership or from the people in government, and it is not favoring us. So we disapprove. We come against it. We speak against it. And it became massive. The movement grew bigger. It began to move from Lagos across different parts of the country. And within a short while, it became another P, which is pandemonium. You know, when the protest was going on, you could still find your way, you could still move. And then when the pandemonium came, it became scary. It was packed with gunshots here and there. And people were scampering for safety. People were running helter-skelter. It says pandemonium is a wild and noisy disorder, confusion, uproar. Revelation chapter 6 verse 15, the Message version says, and then pandemonium, everyone and his dog running for cover, kings, princes, generals, rich, strong, along with every commoner, slave or free, they hid in mountain caves and rocky dens. Was that not the reality of what happened? When the pandemonium broke out, you can't come on the road and be bragging with your Lexus 2020 Jeep. Brother, they will bring it down. Because there was pandemonium. And people's investments were being looted. Some people went into despair. Some people went into distress. The quest for revenge against the system led to several other losses. Just upon discovery of what people had long awaited for, something that was going to palliate their worries and sufferings. And that led to more problems and more issues. And then there was destruction of properties, destruction of lives. And someone will still be saying, but God promised me, God promised us this year, He promised us fruitfulness. Why are we losing people? It doesn't change the hand of God. It doesn't change the fact that God is still God. So then, pandemonium came. The nation cried. The nation wailed at the loss of people. But here you are seated today. You are alive. I'm alive today because you kept me. Choir. Only because of your grace you kept me. God kept me. He kept me. So I will let go. Are you going to let go?
I'm alive today
because you kept me. I could have died in the pandemonium. Some of us were on the streets, but yet we are alive today. Thank you, Lord, for keeping us.
God kept me.
Hallelujah.
Yes, He kept me, so I will let go.
He kept us. We are alive today because He kept us. And so, from pandemonium, then comes the question mark. What is coming next? What is going to happen? Are things going to change for the better? Oh, what is the prospect? Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 verse 6. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Is somebody finding hope for the future? He says, be careful for nothing. Yes, you don't know what's going to happen next. Which P is going to come next? Or is it going to change to Q? But God is sending His word to us this morning from Philippians chapter 4 verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. Pray, give thanks, and make your request known to God. Don't shut your mouth. Don't shut it. Speak up. They've called it sorosuke. Abi, speak up. When you are alone with God, speak up. When there is a crisis in your front, speak up. Talk to God. Talk to God. Is he able? Is he able? Is he more than able? Is he more than able? I have seen his work. There are people who are here who are testimonies to God's greatness in their life. Maybe today they won't ever be seated. Oh, while the car was somersaulting and you were still there, God knows what your mind was thinking about. Oh, when you were running through and it seems that they were chasing you and it looked like you were not going to make it, but God kept you. It can only be God. Verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasseth all understanding, will guide your hearts and your mind through Christ Jesus." That peace is tranquility. It is not peace you can buy with money. Some people have money, they have security, but they still have no peace. What is the use of a bodyguard when the masquerades of the world is chasing you in the midnight? The security men at your gate with guns, what is their use? But when you have peace, even when there is no security, God is your security. There's a testimony whenever I remember, I just tell God, thank you. There was a night we had entered the house and we're just going to sleep. And in the morning, we were looking for the car key. So, you know, naturally, as a human being, what will you do? You go and check if the car is there. Abi? So I checked, the car is there. I said, okay. Part one. God has kept the car. But we couldn't find the key. We searched everywhere, we couldn't find the key. I said, okay, but could it be that we forgot the key somewhere around the car? I said, okay, let me go outside. Then the door was not locked. I just opened like this, and the door opened. Ah, and I saw my gate, and it was open. I said, ha, is this how we slept? And I got to the car. The car was open, and the key was on the ignition. Now, who could have kept me? Only God. Only God. You don't even need anybody. You just enter the house, Abi. Just take anything you want, start the car, and go. Gently, no breakage. But God kept me. God kept us. Those are the testimonies of God. When there is peace, even if you don't have money, there's that peace that levels everything around you. And that takes me to the P that you are waiting for, which is peace. Hallelujah. What did Jesus say to the strong wind? He says, peace, be still. You will tell any situation, any storm in your life this morning, peace, be still. It looks as if there has been pandemonium in your finances. You have just paid your rent with struggle. You are still owing somebody. Then they told you that somebody is sick. You need to send money. Then your lecturer is saying, where is the money for the handout? And everything is like your head is going to blow out. Financial pandemonium. And you are saying, what will happen? Where will I go? Where will I run to? But God is saying to you this morning, peace be still. Peace be still. In your health. They just diagnosed that, this is what is happening. This is the result of the test. And you are like, wow. And then you begin to feel another symptom. And you go and read about it. And it tells you, this is what the symptom is saying. And you're like, God, how will I get out of this? Peace be still. Peace. Is there somebody in the house called peace? There's somebody in the house called peace. Give Peace a high five. You don't know her. That is Peace. Ada, her name is Peace. Hallelujah. Peace is freedom from disturbance, emotional and mental calm. Emotional and mental calm. A state or a period of no war or an end to war. Freedom from civil disorder. Peace. And that is what our nation will go through from now on in the name of Jesus. That is what our lives will go through from now on in the name of Jesus. Let's take a few notes from the spiritual perspective. Number one, pray without ceasing. You cannot stop to pray. You can only pray and pray and continue to pray. When you are alone, pray. When you are in the public, pray. When you are traveling, pray. When you are eating, pray. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. So you can't stop to pray. Number two, stick to the word. The word of God has been given to us as an example to guide us, to instruct us, to correct us, to inspire us. Stick to the word. Proverbs chapter 30 verse 5. If you have it ready, can you project it? It says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. The word of God is pure. It's purity defined. And so what is that impurity around your life? Use the word of God to purify it. Use the word of God to counter the situation. And your life will never remain the same. Number three, guard your heart. Don't let every information that is coming from the right not said, don't just let it batter your life. Guard your heart. What is the word for me this season? He said, there is destruction. They just killed three people. They just killed four people. And you're like, am I the next one to die? Mm-mm. Guard your heart. Speak the word. Declare words that will provide covering for yourself. If you don't know what to say, begin to speak in tongues. Begin to declare. Let God teach you what to say. Hey, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring forth the issues of life. Don't confess negatively. Guard your heart. Confess positive things. And they say Nigeria 2020 is like this. Tell them 2020 is like this for me. I am cruising at the speed of God. I don't need to run anybody's race. I don't need to ride at your own speed. I am cruising at the speed that God had what directed me for. Guard your heart. Number four, show some care. There is someone, even if it is one cup of rice that you can give, you're going to help someone somewhere, somehow. So all around us, there are people we can look forward to assist, to care for, because these are troubled times. Some people are unable to feed since their investment was looted, because that meant everything to them. That meant everything to them. During the lockdown, some people were never able to eat because they go out and work and earn the day's pay and eat from the day's pay. And so when it was that the streets were empty, they could no longer survive. So this is the time to show some care. If you read Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, it says, bear one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. And last but not the least, support partnerships for help. There's a coalition to support. Invest in it. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measures, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. God has blessed you with something. Bless other people. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. It says, let each of you look out, not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. So let's form alliance, let's form partnership to support the people that are in need. And that is how God continues to bless you. You're looking for that fruitfulness, you're looking for that multiplication. This is the season for it. Let us stand. even when the storms come, even when it seems your boat is being filled up with water, and it looks like you're going to sink, it looks like the ship is going to wreck, that Jesus is coming to say, peace, be still. Begin to speak to that situation. Begin to speak and declare to that problem, to that issue, to that development that has troubled your sleep, that when you think about it, your heart beats so fast. Those things that bring fear to your life. Begin to declare God's word this morning. There is a word for every situation. There is a word for every situation. Oh, Masika Higaliba Sonta Yankalebo. He has not given us the spirit of fear. Ha! Begin to declare God's word to that situation. Who art thou, O mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt be moved, and thou shalt be leveled to a plain. Marikandarabo Sonkayankalibondo Shunta Yigerebo. Oh, the Bible says, arise and shine, for your light has come. It seems you have been in darkness. Begin to declare light upon your life. Begin to declare light upon the situation. Begin to declare that the light of God will transcend from you. It says we are the salt of the heart. When people see you, they don't find value. Begin to use that word to declare that I am a salt to the world. Ah, my life begins to spring forth sweetness to the life of people. No longer will men see me and despise me, for I am a salt and a light to my generation. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So I'm no longer afraid to go for that test. I'm not afraid to go for that interview. I'm not afraid to go and register for that exam. It is time for me to move forward. Calmness in the storm. Calmness in the storm. Calmness in the storm. And Jesus got up and spoke to the wind and said, peace, be still. Speak this morning. Speak and declare, peace, be still upon this problem. Peace, be still upon this issue. Peace, be still in my family. Peace, be still in my hometown. Peace, be still in my business. Peace, be still in our finances. Peace, be still in our health. Peace, be still in my marital life. Peace, be still. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Marabo sunka hingali derebo sota yanda ribo shanteye. Worried, you are worried. It looks to you like you are not going to graduate. You are worried because there are many carryovers that you have. And God is speaking peace to your situation this morning. He's telling you, do not worry. I will sort it out. Do not worry. I will sort it out. Peace, be still. Peace, be still. You just looked at the calendar again and said, Father, I have added another year. When will I get married? God is telling you this morning, peace, be still. Calm down. That is what God is saying. I have prepared the best for you. So don't worry. I have prepared the best for you. Joy and peace are my offering to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word this morning. We appreciate you. Thank you because you have called forth peace to situations, and so it will remain in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Can you put your hands together?